Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Are all the rich natural resources of the United States just there for the taking? The historic Standing Rock Sioux pipeline dispute last year on the North Dakota prairie is over, but for the continued court fights. The Dakota Access Pipeline is now complete and ready to pump crude oil, but somehow the landscape seems to have changed. There's a new documentary called Beyond Standing Rock. It's a co-production with Inside Energy, a public media project focused on America's energy issues, and Fast Forward Films. Lee Patterson was the reporter and the film's producer and narrator.
These fights are going on all around the country relative to wind power, solar development, coal mining, transmission lines.
She says Native Americans find themselves once more holding some powerful assets that this time will not go quietly. Tribal interests, Lee Patterson says, are determined to have a seat at the table as America's 21st century energy strategy is hammered out.
Infrastructure on reservation land and on land that tribes have historical attachments to is happening all over the place. And so it's not just pipelines. And it's also really important to note that tribes aren't always against these projects. Oftentimes, tribes are for these projects. And what ties all of these stories together is that tribes want to have control. They want to have a say. In some instances, they want to have veto power over these projects that either cross their reservation land or cross land that they have historical attachments to. And that is what happened in the case of the Standing Rock Sioux, that the Dakota Access Pipeline doesn't cross their reservation.
Here's the principle that you've alluded to here, stated, you know, quite bluntly by Mike Olguin, who is a Southern Ute Indian tribe leader. And they created their own oil and gas company. And it was basically to confront the way the federal government views land.
And a lot of it was based on the treatment of, again, tribal lands being treated just like federal lands. And we said, no, those are two different things. We are not federal lands.
So the tribes want to view their energy assets as something that they can sell to the federal government, not give to the federal government. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, I mean, he's saying it's a matter of control. The Southern Ute Indian tribe, which is a tribe in the southeastern portion of Colorado, they have taken control of energy development on their reservation. They've, as you mentioned, they've created their own oil and gas company called Red Willow Productions. They actually put a moratorium on all development for 10 years so that they could bring in their own geologists, bring in their own experts. They created their own energy department. So this tribe, in some ways, it sounds like a very different story from the Standing Rock Sioux, but they have taken control using their sovereign status to really, you know, make themselves into an economic powerhouse. I mean, this is a small tribe. It's 1,500 members. And those 1,500 members are collectively worth billions. And that stands in stark contrast to the Standing Rock Sioux. Those folks have high levels of poverty and unemployment. And so there's a big contrast there. But again, the commonality is it comes down to control.
Is it possible that this narrative about energy mirrors the gaming industry story that was so big in the 1980s and then became huge in this century?
Well, yeah. So both the Southern Ute Indian tribe and also the Standing Rock Sioux, they do have casinos. And many, many other tribes also have casinos. And these are seen as main economic drivers on those reservations. And I think, you know, to play devil's advocate, I think one of the problems with that is on reservations, the opportunities for economic development are limited. I mean, we just talked about two of them. So I think some tribes have had some success with those economic ventures. Others have not. But this definitely is a way to build the economy.
Do you think that this energy conflict and potential shift in the way the federal government deals with tribes on energy issues is going to be a flashpoint under President Trump, or that he doesn't really take a position one way or another?
Well, so we really don't know what his policy is going to be in comparison with President Obama's policy relative to tribes' rights. Obama, actually, this is one of his priorities. He put a lot of guidelines in place, especially relative to consultation, which we were just talking about. And when it comes to President Trump, we're not sure. But I will say that there is a bill right now making its way through Congress that would streamline energy development on reservations, you know, in the same way that the Southern Utes have been doing and have been lobbying for and who have been really putting all of their eggs in that basket for the past couple of decades. So I think if there is any real tangible change in energy development on reservations, we could see it in that bill that's making its way through Congress. It could end up on President Trump's desk as early as this summer.
Well, there's a big story, and it's called The Beyond Standing Rock, which is the title of a new documentary from Inside Energy. Producer and narrator for that documentary, Lee Patterson, has been speaking with us. Thanks so much, Lee.
Thank you, John.
Beyond Standing Rock debuted this weekend. For PBS air dates, check beyondstandingrock.org.